It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Ernie Aragon. How are you doing this morning?
Great this morning.
Did I say
great.
Your name right?
Yep.
Okay. You know, that's one of my biggest things that I wrestle with is
saying people's.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially if it's not a common
the name's
name.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if it's not a common name. I totally get that.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can also call that number and you can leave a message and we will do our best to get your prayer request on paper. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will, like I said, do our best to get it, put it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. I think I covered it all, brother. Would you please pray to start us out?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for bringing us all together. Thank you for the word that you have brought forward that we're going to bring today, Father. We thank all the people that are going to be listening, Father, let all their hearts, minds, and souls, their ears and their eyes be open to you, Father. Be receptive to what the word and the message is going to be for them, Father. We pray for everything that is here, all the equipment, to run smoothly. And we just bind the enemy from doing anything with it and with us in any form and manner. And we just pray that the message that is brought out today, Father, is a blessing to you and a blessing to those that are listening. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I turned my mic back on.
Yeah, it's new stuff. New stuff you're playing with.
Yeah, I like your title this morning, Power Names God Has Given You.
Powerful names, God.
Powerful names.
Yes. This was something that the Lord had dropped in my heart literally the day right after our last show that we had. It was about, you know, I don't know how it came about. I'm trying to remember the exact process that it came. But this is how I got it all together this morning, saying it this way. In our world today, we are in an identity crisis.
Come on.
A major one. We're trying to be told who we are and what we are through society. What we need to start doing as believers, as Christians, and I'll always say this every time, I love being called a Christian. I love telling people you're a Christian, but I'd rather be called a student of Christ or a disciple, because that changes the factor of where we're trying to understand our walk with the Lord, because... just sad to say it, just the word Christianity or Christian has been so dirtied up out there. There are people that call themselves Christians, or even preachers that call themselves Christians, that aren't preaching the word that as God wanted us to do. So I just want to bring that out to you that way. So that's another part of that identity crisis that we have. You know, who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ. And so I was sitting, driving home, and it was just, that was the thing that ended up happening. It was like, Lord, I know you have names for us that you call us. You know, you do directly call us by name. It says that in the Bible. And you know who we are, and you knitted us in the womb of our mothers. So you have a solid knowledge of who we are. But there are times and moments in our lives, in our walk, where we don't know who we are because we're so bombarded by society about being told who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. So what came to me was this powerful names that God has given us. And these, if you don't have an arsenal box of your faith and your belief, you need to start building one up. There's other things you need to add to it, but this is going to be one of the things that you need to add, because a lot of the time the enemy is the accuser, and he likes to come and tell you who you are and what you are. And what he likes to do best of all, most of all, is he likes to drag out them old names that you had. Just for example, you alcoholic, you junkie, you drug addict. You know, those are the names that he prefers to use on you, because that's what he's familiar with. But simple, I'll just toss a few of them out there, simple ones that are out there right now that you can battle against. That. It's like, no, I am a child of God. That just puts him in his place of what he's trying to tell you, because God's authority is going to always have power over evil, no matter which way you look at it and which way you divide it. He's the powerful one. The devil is it. He pretends to be. He wants to be. If he had it, I'm sure he would do some really horrible things, but it's only by God's authority that the devil is let loose to do anything. So that's where I'm going to kind of start us off, to kind of give you an idea of where we are going. And so I'm going to start off on the basis of our names. We were just talking about my last name. Is like, you know, it's something that we try to remember everybody's name. You know, forgive me, but I forget people's names. I can remember a face, and I'll see a face, and I go, man, I know that person. I just don't know their name. And so it could be a good thing or a bad thing, but that's the thing, is the key is we identify each other by our names. Our first name's primarily, last name secondary. And so I'll just start out with what I picked up this a couple days ago on the internet from an individual called Father Joe. This is from a Catholic website. He says, our name is such an important part of who we are. Our ears perk up when we hear it. And when spoken by someone we care about it, or name can speak to the heart as well as our minds. A name connects people with their family and ancestry. And in the Bible, a person's name carries major significance. It signifies a certain power to know one's name, and especially to be able to give someone a name. Adding or changing one's name can make a new beginning of a special calling, as when God called Abraham into the land and named him Abraham. So Abram, Abraham. Or when Jesus told Simon he would be called Peter, the rock, and the foundation of the church. Thinking of the passage where God calls Samuel for the first time, then the second, and then the third, he responds readily each time, thinking it was the prophet Elijah calling him. Finally, the elder realized it was the Lord calling the youth and guiding Samuel to respond, your servant is listening. So that's just a basis to kind of start us off on, to understand that even our main names, the names that we are given, it is a divine name. I argue with that, because growing up as a kid, my first name, I hated it. I hated my name. Even to this day, I won't say that I hate it as much as I did when I was a kid. But I mean, my association growing up as a kid was Bert and Ernie. You know, so, you know, as a kid, I'd get in a fight with that name. No, I'm not, you know. So I really didn't like my name. I was supposed to be named something else, and I'll just leave that at another time, another place. But that was a name I grew up with, and it's a name I had, and everybody knows me. And then even to a time and a point when I decided I wanted to change my name, I was told this. I was like, you know, the name that you want, I don't see you as that name. And the name that you are, it's you. Everybody knows you by that name. I mean, when they hear your name, they totally associate everything that you. So I've grown accustomed to that name. So by saying that, all of us have a given name, but the Lord has many, many, many names for us. And this is where I was talking about the arsenal. And this is where we need to start picking up names that God calls us. And I'm going to go basic with some of them in the beginning here and give you kind of a story log that goes with it. And at the end, I'm going to try to give you as many as I possibly can, because I found this out. In the Bible, there are over 600 and I believe 43 names that God has for us, and I believe it's on a level of where we are on our walk with him. And those names that we that we get and we have and we retain as we go through life and make it part of our arsenal. That is our defense, one of our main defensive mechanisms against the enemy. Because when we start knowing who we are in Christ and being and calling the name out that, that God has given us to use as a weapon against what the enemy's trying to call us, that we're fortifying our fortress of Christ with inside of ourselves. So just that's just keep that all in mind. All right? We all good? God has some enduring names for us as well. Just as he has given us many names to call him, he has also numerous endearments for us. And here are a few that point out. He calls us friend. Think how we yearn to have a friend. The right friends or many friends are just one or two special friends. We are looking for the BFF, the best friend forever, one who still loves us when we don't deserve it, one who shares and keeps secrets, who believes us and believes in us. God tells us to look no further, God tells us to look no image, but be a friend of God. And that was, oh, let me give you that so that we can go with it. Sorry. That's John 15:15. He calls us a masterpiece. Probably a lot of us wouldn't even call ourselves a masterpiece. But you know what? We're a piece of granite that's being chiseled into the form of Christ. So just think of it that way. We are a masterpiece. This is Ephesians 2:10. It says, when people fall in love, funny things happen in their eyesights. All of a sudden, that person who seemed fairly ordinary became beautiful, handsome, dazzling, awesome, and many other adjectives. It seems like God's undying love for you and for me has a similar effect on his eyesight. He thinks we are gorgeous. He's the proof. For we are God's. For we are God's handiwork. And that's Ephesians 2:10. The word translated handiwork has a clear artistic connection and could easily be translated work of art. Our masterpiece or masterpiece. It isn't that what you thought when you looked in the mirror this morning. Wow, a work of art? that is awesome. So I'm going to try to slow myself down because I'm trying to speed through this and I don't want to do that. So think about that for a minute. This is how the Lord sees us. He sees us as a masterpiece. He sees us as a piece of art, something that he's put together, molded, shaped, and continually shaping and moving forward in through your life. It's always been a constant adjustment on your image of who you are and what you look like and what you're going to be. He sees the finished product. Remember that. He sees it just like an artist sees the finished project when they're chiseling into granite. They already know where if they're doing a physique, a body, you know, they already know where the chin is, where the eyes are going to be at. Same way that the Lord is seeing us. He sees us as a finished product, but he knows through time with him, he's working his way to that process and getting us there. So remember, you can call yourself, I am a masterpiece of God. That sounds powerful if you really think about it. Just take that and utilize it. Put that in your arsenal. Deuteronomy 7:6. He calls you a treasure. How would you like to be called a treasure? How would that make you feel? I remember with my daughter when she was born, I remember going, man, this is what a treasure she is. Well, growing up now, she what a something else she is. But I still love her no matter what. But when I saw, I couldn't believe how precious and how significant of what she was and who she was at that time when she was just a little baby. And I remember saying that. I was like, man, she's just like a little piece of treasure that God has given me and I have now in my life. So think of that's another word to utilize. It's a strong and powerful word. Because if something's coming up against you and you're just battling where something is calling you something else, you just stop for a minute and say, you know what? God sees me as his treasure. He treasures me of who I am, what I am, what I am doing. I'm getting all choked up just saying this all by myself. So on that, it says, do you have a treasured possession? What you would rescue if your house was burning, something you can't imagine living without, something you show it off, or you might hide it and lock it up to keep it safe. It could have great value to anyone, or perhaps only to you, a treasure. That is what God has said about his children, the Israelites, and for us. For you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possessions. And that's Deuteronomy 7:6. And God just treasures us. He protects us and keeps us safe. But he also loves and shines over us too. Here's a simple one to remember. I think of it this way. This is 2 Corinthians 6:18, I believe. I think I wrote 18 there. And we are sons and daughters of God. And especially now that we are New Testament believers. And so through Jesus Christ, we are even more in that light. Because Jesus Christ, because we are co-heirs with him, he is our brother. That makes us a child, a son, or a daughter of God. And so if it wasn't enough for God to call us friend, he wanted a deeper relationship. He wanted us to be a part of his family. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:18. We get to call him Abba, Daddy, Father. We can ask him for anything. We can burst in on him anytime. He will go fishing with us, help us learn to drive, listen to our broken hearts, inspire us to not settle, but to even go higher. He will always be there for us. Will never abandon us, and so much more. So think of that next time. Again, take these words and just put it in your arsenal. You are a son or a daughter of God. Anytime the enemy is attacking you, saying otherwise, anything other than these words that I'm bringing to you, you pull that out and you say, no, this is what God says I am. Use it as a stamp, a weapon, a shield, a sword, however it's going to work for you at that moment in time to battle against what the enemy's trying to call you. Here's another great one. Beloved. This is from Song of Songs 2:16. This is my favorite. My wife shows her love for me in so many ways. Dinner, fixing things around the house, doing things around the house, taking me out to dinner. Believes I can do anything and lets me be alone when that is what I need. I think she has taken lessons from God. You see, God is in love with me and with you, and he wants to be with me. He whispers encouraging words to me. He calls me all these special names. He leads me into remarkable opportunities to serve him. He reminds me that he is always looking for ways to do good for me. He calls me his beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And this is Song of Songs 2:16. And so these are a few that I thought would be a good starter to have an understanding of where we're going and where we're transpiring to. So we're going to be going directly to the Word of God on more names that he has for us. But you see where I'm kind of going with all this. So you see what I'm trying to do. And what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you, you know, thank God now in today's technology, we have things we can go on to Google. We can go online and go look them up. Go look up other names God has for you. Because I know this, as I was doing it, I was finding other names that I didn't know God had for me. And I started realizing, if I know these things even more, it just adds more into my arsenal of what I am, who I am, and what I am. My identity is in Christ, no matter what, how I look at it. And some of us, and that's the reason I'm coming, I believe that the Lord has me coming to you with this word is because you're struggling with your identity of who you are. And when you start understanding your identity through Christ, you start becoming more of a powerful person because you start binding the enemy up from and preventing you from moving forward. Because I've seen it enough to know how many times I've seen one of the ones that always points to me out, and my pastor always brings this out too, is, you know, the service that Alcoholic Anonymous does, it's a great service. But one of the disservices that they do is every time you get up, you say, "Hi, my name is Jim Henry, and I'm an alcoholic." Well, what did you just do to yourself? You just called yourself what your addiction is. That doesn't help you. And in the sad fact of the matter is when you start calling yourself that, you're limiting where and how much you're going to get healed. Because again, when you start calling yourself a name that God has given you, you start clicking that imagery of who you are and what you are starts to dissipate, starts to go away. Because the one thing that we need to be doing is, as Christians, as we're walking through this world, is and I'll point this out in a specific way, we are supposed to be walking as light and as salt of this world. And if we're not emanating that coming out of us, again, I'll say it takes time for certain people to get over so many things that have happened in their lives. But when you start saying these and calling yourself these things, that's what ends up happening, is you're shoring yourself up. These are bricks that you're putting up on this wall of defense from the enemy, so that way you could stand and fight the day when the enemy's trying to get a hold of you. So these are going to be straight from the Bible. And here's some more names that he's got for you. He says, a friend of the king, and this is John 15, I think we already went over this, John 15:15, but this is the actual scripture. It says, "I do not call you servant any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you my friend, because I have revealed to you everything that I have heard from my Father." So think about that. That's Jesus talking to his disciples and explaining to them that even though they call him king and they call him Lord, his relationship doesn't, during the time frame, when you think about that, when people were in these positions, there was a distance between them and the common people. But Jesus didn't want to have that kind of relationship with his disciples. And saying that, again, it's like I call myself as a disciple of Christ. He's talking to me. He's telling me he doesn't want to have this distant relationship with, he wants to be right here. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be right in the mix of what's happening and what's going on with you. And that's why he's saying that, you know, because I revealed everything that I have heard from the Father. So everything that the Lord has transpired from him to Jesus Christ is being transferred from Jesus Christ to us. So a friend of the king, what greater friend could we not have? You're loved. Romans 8, 35 and 37. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Yet all these, man, I just realized my computer's cut me off. Yet all, I can't finish this one off unless I go directly to the Bible. Let's go to it. This is good. See, this is wonderful technology right here. I don't have to thumb through papers. Even though I love reading my Bible, I just this app, if you don't have it, it's the Bible app. I would suggest you get it, because of moments like this is where I like in this, and I, many translations out there, this is the Passion Translation, and I'll just say it from that way, the same one here. It says, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one, for nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecution, devastation, danger, and death threats? No, for they are all important to hinder omnipotent love. And I think it said 37. So it says, even though it is written, all day long we face death threats. For your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all from God, triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstration of love is our glorious victory over everything. So there's no greater love that you can get from him. So you are loved. He loves you more than anything. And I don't care if you're walking with Christ right now or you're not, and maybe you're just tuning in and trying to figure out where you're at in this within this walk with the Lord. He loves you. Straight up and down, he loves you. And then if anything, at a minimum point, if you're at a place where you're battling something, you need to just know you are loved. He loves you. He loves you. You just, if you have to get down on your knees and just curl in a ball and just say that over and over and over and over, he loves me. He loves me. I am his. He loves me. He loves me. What you're doing is you're creating that barrier. You're removing any of that persecution that the enemy is putting on you. Because the more you keep pouring God's word, God's love, God's names upon you, the more you're separating yourself, and you'll be able to see a lot more clearly than what you have before. So continue doing that. Redeemed. You are redeemed. My name is redeemed. I mean, you know, however you want to say it to you, but being redeemed is one of the greatest things. Every one of us here have been redeemed. The day that we all accepted Christ in our hearts, we were exchanged at that moment, and we were brought back, bought with the blood of Christ. So we were redeemed for a price, and that was by his blood. And this is Romans 3:22-25. And it says, this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. There is no distinction, since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God and are being justified as the gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a sacrifice, an atonement, and reconciliation by his blood through faith. So, when you accepted Christ, you are redeemed. When you've accepted Christ, this is what ended up happening with you, is that whatever the enemy had on you, it fell off. Whatever he was going to use against you, because you got to remember, he's the accuser. If you're in a court of law, he's there to persecute you for everything that you've done wrong. But as soon as you've taken on Jesus Christ in your heart, all that was there, everything that was on the records, everything that was stacked up against you, completely gets washed away and wiped away. But does that mean that he's going to stop? No, because now you yourself have become a problem for him. Because now you're learning about Christ. Now you're knowing about Christ. Now you're knowing who you truly are, what your true identity. And the more that is happening to you, the more and more the enemy wants to try and get at you. But that's the key, is before he had you, now he's trying to get you back into the same places. He'll use some of his old tricks, where you used to be. So, you know, however your lifestyle was prior or before, that he's going to try to influence you, bring you back into that area. Whatever friends you've had before, here's a key, get some new friends. You don't want the old friends anymore, because the old friends are going to help bring you back to that place. So he's going to try to bring those old friends back in your life. Like, come on, man, let's go out. Let's go have a drink. You know, whatever that past life of yours, he's going to try to draw you back in it. Again, as we move forward and as we start learning the words, the names that God has given us, as we utilize those, it keeps the enemy at bay. It keeps him away from us. So that way we can just keep growing and growing stronger and stronger. To eventually, yes, I would say this, it would be to a point where he's just going to give up on you, because he's going to try to go find someone else who's easier and easier to get to. Are we ready, sis?
Is now a good time for prayer? Sure, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to read them? I should have done this before. Sorry.
We have a couple prayer requests. Pray for Michelle Sassy, who is having surgery on her stomach this morning. Pray for Joe and Neva Pyatt, Traveling Mercies.
Okay. Hey, it's easy this time.
Yeah. So
Sassy, having surgery on her stomach today. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up Michelle Sassy. She's having surgery, Father. You know that the ailments that she's having with her stomach, Lord. We just ask you, in your beloved son's name, that those that are with her in the surgery process, the doctors, the nurses, steady their hands, guide them and direct them. Make every motion and action that they do as safe and clean as possible. For her, Father, we just pray your grace and your mercy upon her through this process for quick healing and recovery from this process, Father. We ask for your peace on their families, on her family, Father, as she's going through this process. It seems and it sounds like it's a simple process, Father. So we're just going to ask that you just bring your peace, your shalom upon all that are involved with this, Father. Let her recover, be quick and speedy, and move quickly on this process. In Jesus' name we pray. And then Joe and Neva, where are they going?
They have a wedding to attend.
Well, that's
Tennessee.
Nice. That's nice. That's a nice job. Well, Lord, we just ask for prayer travels for them as they're moving through our nation, Lord. I think they're going through our nation, so that's what I felt in my heart. But we just ask, Father, that you just remove any obstacles of danger, of harm, and of evil, Father, out of their paths as they go on the highways and the byways, wherever they're staying or and holding down, Father. We just ask a hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe from any harm or evil, Father. Just let them have a blessed time while they're there. Let the Spirit of the Lord, your Spirit, Father, just pour through them as they are there, as not only just going there and having a good time, but being a witness to who you are, Father, just being a witness of the miracles that you've been doing through Joe, Father. So we just ask for just a good, beautiful, enjoyable time for them to have as they go there, Lord, and just let them be a blessing to those that are around them. And we ask this in your beloved son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You know, the past few, I want to share something. The past few days, I've really had the enemy pecking at me, trying to put doubt, you know, just pecking. You might as well just quit. You're not doing no good. You might as well just stay home. Don't nobody want to hear. Don't nobody care. Just pecking at me. And this morning, I got a text message from my bonus daughter, Kaylin. And I was really just beginning to entertain the doubt that was pecking at me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I got here this morning and sat down and was just kind of praying, talking to him, you know, just intimate. Not out loud, intimate, just
right.
Inside me and my Jesus, just talking, you know. And he said, growth. Your growth is when your bonus daughter can send you a text message asking you to pray for her mother, her mom, who is going into surgery.
Right.
And in that moment, when I heard the Holy Spirit say that to my spirit in me, all the doubt that was pecking at me went away.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. Yes. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, they are our sponsor for today. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can reach Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. The Refuge at New Liberty, located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and your socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away.